But Denise is cancer-free, so...
Praise God!
And, so that's good news. Yeah, that's great news. And they took out half of the 80 stitches, which is good. I mean, staples. So that's great. And they said she's doing well, very well. Which, please feel free to encourage Denise that she is doing well. They were really surprised how much she's walking around, she's doing all of this kind of stuff. Because Denise was thinking like she's not so much recovering well. So please encourage her, because they said she's doing exceptionally well. Let's think about it. If you've had 80 staples put into you and you've been split open like a watermelon, so... the first thing the nurse says, wow, the young, they heal so fast, you know. And but she's doing well, the diet's well, everything is going well, and just thank you for the prayers. Did you want to say anything, Denise? You know, right now.
we had a good report at the doctor's appointment today, but... just want to say thank you to every single person here. Just all the text messages or like the warm smiles or the hellos or just, I just feel really, really blessed and like just really feel like I was like bathed in love and prayer. And thank you guys. And Marie and Pastor Jay sent me a video of them singing to me, which is precious. I was watching it today. So I'm just really thankful for this family, and you guys are all very precious to me. Each and every one of you guys have like a very special place in my heart. So thank you guys for everything, and I love you guys a lot.
I'm our adult mascot, so meaning like we've all like you guys all rallied around her, and that was very special, and. It was really special to see in the hospital and at the house. It was remarkable, too, because a co-worker came all the way from Baltimore, who she works for, her teacher, came to visit yesterday. And that was good, and just kind of was blown away by everything. And among the teachers, they had collected a donation for her, so which was quite remarkable. The teacher made sure that Denise knew that her job was waiting for her, and more importantly, that she could work for none of the other teachers who had begun to fight over who gets Denise when she comes back, and that they miss her smile, which we can attest to that, so we know exactly how they feel. So that's a great testimony for her job. The children miss hitting her. Yeah, biting, hitting, scratching, you know, the nurse... Yeah. The nurse is like, wow, your hands are like, I'm like, yeah, war zone. I said, she works with autistic children, you know. And then she's like, oh, okay. You know, so Denise loves it, but and they're waiting for her to come back to it. So that's amazing. Let's see, what else with another announcement? Okay, as we know, this weekend, please, please, please pull out all the stops. It's kind of a great blessing for us that Pastor Steve Cibelli will come and he'll be with us. And this is a great. We have different ones coming who will, maybe someone who maybe thinks that they're not going to make it. You know, he was 30 years a drug addict, and he's been on the mission field over 100 countries. Look what God can do with a life. He was on the streets himself. He's an amazing man of God. He's also funny, crazy. If you ever think that somebody's going to come and they'll be bored, you won't be bored in 1 second. And so you'll enjoy every second of it. This is the time. Teenagers, he loves. There will be literally, this is a great time to grab friends or what have you, because it'll be like the shoot for peace type of stuff. Okay? So it's a good one to invite a lot of people to. Afterwards, we're pulling out all the stops because he is the missions director for our worldwide church, and so it's a privilege that he is coming. So we are going to treat him like royalty to make him want to come back again next year. So we will be having a nice meal afterwards, and we will have, he asked for lasagna, and I knew where we could get the best lasagna, so that was a no-brainer. So we have two ladies cooking the best lasagna, and they're pulling out the stops, and he asked for Sophie's famous meatballs, and he asked for his popcorn, and so he's coming, and he said to me today that he's spending the day with us. So even after, he'll sit and eat and just fellowship, and just, you can ask him questions, hang out with him. It's a lot of fun. His wife will be here as well. I'm really looking forward. Let's show him what York is about, okay? Let's really show him what York is about. And so, we'll give, you know. And that, you know, that was, that's easy to, because, you know, representing York, right, Alyssa?
Well, he already got a preview at Caitlin's graduation because he was like, York really showed up today.
Yeah, you guys, even on the TV, where, you know, Denise and I could hear, like, you guys yelling at the top of your lungs when they were announcing. Yeah, I figured, and I was like, yeah, and then we're looking on the camera to see as you walk by, we're like, there's Alyssa, Alyssa. Okay, there's this one. Oh, that's really cool, as you guys walked by. So that was really a blessing, right, Caitlin, to show up for that and just, you know, to show, represent, and show family. So that was great too. So this Sunday, big blessing. Let's really, really be here. And if there's anyone, like I said, I think of this kind of Sunday, if there's one that you could, you know, like you've been waiting and you think you could probably kind of like pull their arm, so to speak. And Jude, the book of Jude in the Bible talks about this. There's some you kind of almost have to force. It's almost seeming like forcing. Even God talks about it. He says, I caught you with guile, which means he kind of like tricked us sometimes. He tricks us sometimes because we don't know what's good for us, ourselves, right? Sometimes you've done that with children. You've tricked them into something that's good for them because they don't know what's good for them. So sometimes I've had people do that for me in my life, and it is the best thing. They got me to hear something I needed to hear, brought me in. So this would be a moment to kind of trick people with God, so to speak. Get them in as best you can, and I guarantee you, or as another scripture says, compel them to come in. You know, compel them to come in because there will be something that they will not, you know, not be disappointed, you know. So it's great. Okay, any questions on that or comments on that or any other testimonies, announcements, anything like that before we begin? This Sunday also we will hand out our summer schedule. I know people have been waiting for that because we've been putting it together, but we think we've had the finalized copy. One thing just to let you know that we will have a baptism / picnic, that will be, there will be classes for that as well for people to be baptized. So that's, which will be great. Am I missing anything else? Okay. Hi. So no problem. So it's exciting. We'll have a great time tonight and this weekend, and then I'm just trying to think of anything else that's coming up, but I think that's good for now, and we'll keep you updated. I like the women's Thursday because sometimes there's always so much going on, it's kind of like we need these to refresh ourselves with what else is going on. And I I'll just wait till everyone's gone. We've seen children before that.
Natasha, remember last Saturday when you said we were going to have Saturday Bible Club this Saturday?
That's correct.
What did you say the day was?
Mental Spiritual Health Day.
Thank you. I was like, she said it was something, and I can't remember what it was.
We're going to do it twice a year. I think it's healthy, and so that just to have a Saturday. In the Bible College, we put those in as well because it's breaks. Like I was talking to one wife whose husband goes full-time Bible College here, like, you know, the importance of that, like she's appreciating the summer because she can spend time with her husband. So we're going to, you know, we believe in those type of breaks so that there's no type of, and plus it's a big summer and VBS, we're having VBS, we have all these summer programs. It's a big summer. So, you know, I want everyone kind of to have a little time and be rested that way. But there was something I just was going to say. preparation. Oh yeah, and this is like I would say a shout out. Wednesday nights, it's a great series. I would say it's great. Let me say this, and this is because this is us, right? This is family, okay? Wednesday nights to me are important, mainly because we do Wednesday nights here because we want our church family here to come, and we were told that this is the night that really Thursday, our homework, all this other stuff, so we pick Wednesday night. But if we didn't do Wednesday night, whether, for some of us, the worship team, Pastor Jay, whatever, honestly, we would be driving an hour to Baltimore and going to that service. So it has been well attended, but then last night, and Pastor Jay's preaching his heart out. It was like not so, right? Preaching his heart out last night, not so well attended. So, I mean, he's not going to say this, but I'm going to say this because, come on, guys. It's for everyone here. So just maybe say something. And a lot of times in a Thursday night Bible study, you're preaching to the choir because I see a lot of faces that I saw last night. But if you could just, encourage people or what have you, because it's for York. And we want this to what have you. And after that prayer and praise week, remember, it was great. It was like, 40 people here every night. It was great. But he chose to start that to ride the momentum. But that makes sense, right? I mean, because otherwise we'll go get edified, down in Baltimore where the home church is. But we would do it because we think a midweek service, he thinks a midweek service is important, right? To get the word of God in the middle of the week. So, but I just want to say for his sake that it's something and he kind of alluded to it, we're the people. And that can happen to a pastor. You prepare, you have everything, and that's that. Does that make sense? Anybody have a comment on that? Because he's not going to say that out loud, but I'm going to say it because this is kind of like the girl side of the family time, So, does anyone have a? Anyone have a thought on that? Saying. Say, Latasha, that's crazy, And also, we have people who get out of their jobs, but it's at 6:30, and they bust their butt to drive way up here to come to do the children's program. Katrina, she's not going to say that, and she's not here. Drives from Columbia, Maryland, up here for Wednesday night service. Okay, I just want to kind of. Sometimes when we don't know the sacrifice, it makes it like, I'll roll in if I feel like it, type thing. I just wanted to put it out there, not as a guilt, but I think a responsibility, just to know that sometimes. Does that make sense? I mean, what do you guys think? Talk to me. Tell me something.
I want other people to talk because I feel like I don't want anyone to ever talk, but I have a lot to say.
All right. How about I say this? Connie, you tell me what you think.
Sometimes you go through your week and you feel down or something, at least I do. So when I come here, then I kind of get uplifted. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Recharge, yeah.
Yeah, it recharges me.
A revival, if you will.
Okay. So let's do our best to help, all the church members. I know for some, this is brand new, we were talking last night, to even come to church every Sunday, that's putting that in the schedule is a brand new thing, and then to say twice, and again, it's like not knowing that not knowing that you're hungry, so you starve yourself, and then all of a sudden you eat, and you feel like, I have a lot of energy, so that's why we love Wednesday nights, right, because it's the midweek, it's like we can get a lot of, pretend he's not there, don't even look at him. So let's really encourage others, and maybe it may help just to say, hey, why don't I pick you up, or why don't I come by your house, and we'll go together. That may help for some. you know, just so that we can get, so they get used to it. It took a while for me to get used to coming midweek service. It's tiring. I know I needed it, but, you know, I mean, my bed felt like it was calling me. And I never went to bed. I would just turn on the TV and just stare in oblivion, you know, at this TV. It's, you know, I had no idea what was going into my mind, but I was just dead tired. Yeah, and I just was like, but that, the Wednesday night, you know, you come in, you see other faces of people who think like I do. That's biggie. Like, you know, who think like I do. And then you get a message and it's like, wow, okay, I can do this again. And I have energy. So let's pray for that and pray for each other. I love Thursday. Thursday is great because that's kind of like where we get to be with each other. But I also love Wednesday because Wednesday, you know, it's kind of ladies' time, Thursday, whatever. But Wednesday, though, it's important. It's great to hear from our head pastor like twice a week. That's important, you know. Especially, you know, for some, maybe if you're not in a Bible college, and that's important, too. Does that make sense? Okay. All right, we're going to continue in our series. We're serious about it. this series is, I actually was thinking about this today. I said I've been really excited today that we have lingered. Do you ever linger? You know, maybe you're in the kitchen and there's a special aroma in the kitchen and you find yourself lingering. Now, I have lingered, this is interesting, around a coffee machine, though I can't stand coffee. But the smell, for some reason, keeps me thinking that I may like it one day. But I've tried it a few times, and I have literally regurgitated on the side of the road. It doesn't work. But the smell, especially the, what's that one flavor? Hazelnut. My gosh, hazelnut. Man, that can get me going, and I can linger. But you know what I mean by lingering, because there's an aroma, okay? And it's just because you want it to last. It's there. Or, you know, you can linger in a conversation just because you're being so edified. I noticed that we people linger after church on Sunday, you know, and, you know, we're not out of here till very late these days. And that's great because we love the fellowship and we love each other. That was one thing my brother commented on last Sunday. He said, you have such a unique collection of people that just seem to enjoy each other. And, I thought that was a great compliment to all of you. But I say that because we're lingering on the attributes, what is God like? I'm glad because I was told about an op-ed, which is an opinion edit. It's like a little piece that you would find in a newspaper. And this past Sunday, I don't know if anyone read the York paper or reads that section, but someone wrote a piece on what is York like. And it was horrific. It was really bad. They trashed it.
The one that said, why I hate York?
Yes.
Yeah, I read that.
Okay. Here's the thing. I'm going to get a copy of that. Pastor Day and I were talking, and I'm going to put it up. And it's going to be my, you know, it's going to be my motivator. Because it's very intense, and it's getting people talking, and it was racist. It was a lot of things. But here's the thing. So here he is. This man obviously does not have Jesus. Why I hate York. But maybe we could write an op-ed on why we love God. And that's really what Thursday night is about. Because he is like this. And we could write our own op-ed. It's called op-ed. It's an opinion editorial, short for op-ed. Okay. And we could write our own. What is God? What is he like? And we are writing it. And we have written and said he is love, right? He is everywhere. He is, one we lingered on was God is light. And we have been lingering lately on God is, oh yeah, and I don't see me going anywhere. I mean, I have been thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking, and I think I have found myself a new attribute that is my favorite. You know, I mean, and you know, it's just kind of like, you can look at a person ever, like a good marriage, I'm talking about a good marriage, okay? They, years down the road, at some point, you begin to love a new attribute about that person. Something almost you didn't appreciate before, you begin to appreciate, okay? And a good friendship is like that too. because it needs time to appreciate it. Well, we need time to appreciate God's patience, because the one thing patience is about is time. Right? If I blow through God as patient, if I say, oh yeah, mom's patient with me every day, my mom's patient, you know, I blow through that, there's no way that I can really understand the patience of God or the patience of a person if I blow through it. It takes something. And I have, and the one thing that I love about God is that whatever I linger on about him has this ability, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight, to change me. I am lingering about him, and it changes me. The more I linger about something about God, the more it changes me. Now, here's the problem. We like to linger. Oh, we're good lingerers. I think we're all the best of them, and if we were to go around the room and be honest, but we're not going to do that. We linger in our minds about a lot of things throughout the day. And it's not stuff like that. And it's, you know what, it's not going to change us. It has no guarantee to change us. God says, I guarantee if you linger about thoughts about me, you will be changed. Now, that makes no sense. Because really, if I linger in thoughts about Katrina, that's great, love her, but it's not going to change me. You know, I appreciate her friendship, what have you, but it's not going to change me. And like we talked about last week, there are two big things about I need that patience brings, and that is, who can remember? Forgiveness, deliverance. Okay? Those two things. That's like, so I linger about something about a person, it doesn't have power to change me. But God says, if you linger about something about me, it has the power to change you. I like that, because I can't change me. And I find that if I meditate on me throughout the day, or I meditate on you and what you haven't done for me, or what you have done to me, then that is not going to change me into what I would like to be. I would like to be different. Is anyone just want to raise their hand to say they would like to be different? I would like to be different. I come to church because I believe it is a place where I can become different. I'm not going to become different because the finger is pointing at me. That doesn't change me. You can tell me all the things that I've done wrong and how I don't measure up. That is not going to change me. But somehow, and this is mystical, I come into this building, into the presence of God, I listen to the word of God, and there is an exchange that happens, and I am different afterward. You can tell by my smile. And it's a little bit, you know, maybe I don't even see it over time. You know, I remember when I thought going to church more than once a week was like crazy. Who'd want to do that? Then I found myself going twice a week. Then I found myself going to three times a week. Then I found myself hanging around the church. Then I found myself looking and stepping into a Bible college class. And I thought, this is crazy. But church became addictive. And God says, I am the great addiction. Don't be drunk with wine. That's an addiction. But in the same verse, it says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. That addiction is an amazing addiction. And it has the same high. The normal state of the Christian life is to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that I find myself filled with the love of God that's in my heart. Like, I'm connected to it. I can't understand it. Okay, when I was younger, like 13 turned to 14, I became addicted to these things. And I found myself walking 1 hour each way to church. And that is amazing. 1 hour by myself, getting permission. In the summer, I could ride my bike. 1 hour. And it wasn't to youth activities. I didn't care what they were doing in there. It was like that. I could not have explained it to you. Heck, I couldn't explain it to my friends. They wondered why a bunch of white people, when they came to my area, were picking me up to take me somewhere. You know, and I couldn't explain it to you. You had a lot of white friends now. Yeah, I do. Like, how do I explain that to you? Because it really, it the color, the ethnicity, the culture, that's all gone. There's God. And I found myself addicted. Why? Because the attributes of God, something about God was changing me, and I became addicted to it. And it's amazing. And this is why what I want to talk a little bit about tonight in 1 John 3:2. Now that, it's a funny book of the Bible is toward the back of the Bible. It's actually way in the back. It's like, you know, fourth from the end. And it's kind of, it's because it sounds like it's the book of John, but it's really 1 John. Because later on he writes three more books. So this one is the first one he wrote. And he has a lot to say here about love. But he also has a lot to say to us about what we want to talk about tonight. So, we go way back. From the end. But I'll wait because it's important. It's good to. We're going to get to know our Bibles this summer. Wouldn't that be great? It's going to be fun. We're really going to get to know our Bibles. And I like that because, like I said, that book is the only book that'll change me. So it's important, you know, it's important to get to know it. And then we're going to have a contest. They call it sword drill, where you hold up your Bible and I say a verse. And then the person who gets the worst verses, who gets to them first, will have a special prize, maybe like a gift certificate to Target or something. Or like Bath and Body Works, a little spa experience, because I know the Word of God now. Okay? So here we go. We're in 1 John, and we're in chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse 2. It says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." Now, I want to stop right there. And that's something that I've been thinking about this week, and I even had a conversation with somebody today about it. There is something that we strongly believe in because the Bible strongly discusses it. Once we are God's children, we are always God's children. Okay? What would be the point if God gave me the power to take myself out of his hand? Anybody know? What would be the point? Right. What is that? You know, God, you saved me so I can destroy me? I already knew I had the power to destroy myself. What did you bring me but the power to be saved? All of us have the power to destroy ourselves. Open up your newspaper, Why I Hate New York. All he's got is hate inside. We've all got power to destroy ourselves. I can destroy another life. They call them guns and knives, and I have the ability to hurt you like nobody's business. What does God, the Almighty Creator, bring to the table but the power to deliver me, to keep me? Because if he doesn't have the power to keep me, how is he all-powerful? He's not. How is he all-powerful if he can't keep me? If Latasha can figure out a way, how is that all-powerful? I have to depend upon something. There are certain things that have to be strong and true in my life, absolutely immovable, and they can have nothing to do with me because I'm a mess and I know it. I have to have certain things that are bigger than me. God, you keep me. You know that as mothers. It's not the child who decides whether, and I know, I was had one of my good friends, and you know, children get to this age, and she was like, no, you can't have that, and because she whispers to me, and she likes to be, thinks she's the boss. She goes, I want to be the boss. I mean, I love that. It's like, she goes, but you're not the boss. but I want to be the boss. And she was so earnest. And I thought, that's me. But I want to be the boss. She was like, but I'm the mommy. But I would like to be the mommy. And I thought, but right, this little girl has no power to be the mommy, does she? Will the court ever say, guess what? You're now the mommy. No, because that's foolish. In fact, the court could find me, could take her from me, and so to speak, and say, you are the mommy, but you cannot care for her because you are not recognizing that you're the mommy. Okay, God has never done that with us. He is the daddy, and he's always the daddy. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God. Now we are the children of God. There's no little, I love people when I'm like, put the parentheses in. Well, I mean, unless of course you, no, now. Now this matters in God's patience. Because one question that came last week was about the thief on the cross, or about really, about how long can a person sin and then there's no hope for him. Well, honestly, as long as you're breathing. Because that is part of the patience of God. You and I don't get to see that and understand that, and it can be kind of, it can be disappointing to us. But we both enjoy something. I enjoyed knowing the patience of God for me, but I also have to know that the patience of God is for you. So now we are the children of God, even if I don't know what it, if I don't like it. Okay? That's important. And my meditation this week was about that. And that is John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And this last week we talked a lot about mothers. Do you remember that? And what a great love mothers have. But this is greater. You know why? God so loved not his own children. Now we were, and let's use a great example, we had a graduation party and it was beautiful. Caitlin's mom and dad, mom right there, Lisa, expressed the love that they have toward Caitlin. And it was beautiful to see Caitlin raised in a Christian home. And we all got to see it, you know. And those who were there at the graduation celebrated that. And that's amazing, okay? But now, what if, right after the graduation, I walked up to Lisa and I put a random child in her arms and I said, Lisa, now she is your daughter. What if I said, love this child? Because we have this picture in the Bible where we were kind of in our own blood, if you will. We were not his. And he comes and he cleans us up and takes us. See, it's a different kind of love. God's love is not a mother's love or a father's love because we were not his. We were separated from him, the Bible says. We were enemies of the cross of Christ. We were separated from him. So for God so loved the world takes on a whole new meaning, as if I was a mother and I had the same love. And I got to tell you, as a school teacher, it doesn't exist. Parents come in, parent-teacher meeting. I've seldom seen it where the parent is sympathetic toward the other students in the class. They are most sympathetic toward their own. And that's not a bad thing. I get it. It's not a big thing. Of course, there's a protection there. It's innate. We tend to argue for that. And that's great. But to have that exact... Now, some of you are saying, well, no, I love... No, I want... let's be here. Let's be realistic here. I want to hear the exact same love. The exact. Lisa? The exact? Be honest. Right, we would. We would. But I'm just saying, it's natural. It's nothing, it's not condemning, but it's natural, right? We would love to have it. But this is not to point out mothers or you need to love everyone. This is not that type of thing. This is to magnify a God who does. That's all this is. I would love to believe that I love everyone like my closest friends. And actually, it says, greater love has no man this, than a man laid down his life for his friends. But then he goes on, than a man lay down his life. But there is a God-man, there's Jesus Christ, who laid down his life while we were yet sinners, and Christ died for us. That's the God-man. A man maybe will lay down his life for a good friend. A mother will most definitely usually lay down her life for her children. But I want to say this, because this is important to the patience of God. If we do not, this is the foundation of the patience of God, but we are patient with those we love. Love is patient. And he loves the whole world. And that has been my meditation today. He loves us as we're driving up here. He loves everyone on these streets. He loves everyone, all these different nationalities that are here. He loves. He loves with a unique love, a special love. And that love is patient. That he gave his only son. So rather than talk about how much he loved Christ, he gave up the best he loved for those who would reject him. That's patience. Often, much of understanding life-changing things in our life about God are very simple. They're just simple. It's just simple. God loves me. God loves you. God loves them. So that patience, love is patient. Just like, so it's a greater love. It's an all-surpassing love. And when I understand that love, I can understand his patience. Because you will be patient with what you love. You'll have a plan for what you love. And honestly, you won't let people touch what you love. And that's why God hates Satan. That's why he is always, ever reaching out to each one of us. Because of love. And he's thinking, I was trying to think it in my, there's a verse in the Bible said that he is slow to anger. Okay? And I was just thinking, like, the offense, my offense coming at him. This was a couple days ago. Coming at him. And God, we would want to react right away. Okay? I mean, even turn the other cheek. Boom. If my quick, I have to make adjustment and turn. But God is slow to anger. It's like this slow motion to anger, which can take years. Years. And I keep racking up. Remember last week we talked about a debt. My debt keeps getting bigger and bigger. And it takes years. And God is slow to anger. Quick to love. He's quick to love. Just like a parent. Oh, you fall down. Oh, quick to love. That's God, where God's speedy. He's right there. I fell. I was saying to someone today, the idea of grace is, and the beauty of grace is that people aren't necessarily getting is that there is no bottom for me. The bottom will always be the hand of God. I will never try to kind of get underneath there with my sin or my life. I will never reach bottom. He will always be under. Have you ever done that with a kid? I've done that with a child, walk around. I put my arm on sharp objects. You're walking around. You're doing this. You spend a lot of energy so that they could just walk, you know, freely. Bang, bang. And it was like, okay. And they're bouncing off your hand. They fall, you're right there. You catch them because you know that is a hard hit if they're on cement, right? You were there. That is the patience of God. It's all encompassing. It's all encompassing. It does not leave, the plan of patience doesn't leave one detail in my life out. He is like a sentinel. A sentinel was like you would be up top and your job was to watch to see if the enemy had come. And he is like a sentinel watching every detail of my life. But this verse goes on. But I don't know why, but I felt like lingering on that part. But let's go to the next part of that verse. And it has not appeared as yet what we will be. Remember I said, who wants to be better? Yeah, I mean, I wake up every morning and definitely I'm aware of my frailty. You know, maybe I'm aware of my lack of love, my what have you. I'm aware that I'm not like him. It's put as simply. But we know when he appears, we will be like him. Because we will see him just as he is. What I was thinking about, I've had some people on my heart this week, and I was thinking about the fact that it's like, you know, what could help them? What could, you know, you go through all of these things, like what could? And the answer is very simple, that when they see him, it'll be instant. Whatever it is that I have in my life, one of the reasons why we stress the importance of church, it's like hanging, I said to someone today, it's like hanging around waiting for someone because that's the last place you saw him. Do you understand? I come to church because that's the last place he was. And I hang around that I might be changed. And it may be there will be a message or a word, and I'll see him all of a sudden, and then I'm like him. I really see him. Like, maybe right now for some of you, a lot of what you're listening to, you don't even understand. You come in the message, you're like, I have no idea what has happened, but, you know, everyone seems to be happy, and I'm happy being here, you know? And, yeah, and that's fine. Honestly, I did a lot of that. I mean, I walked. I walked church, and then, you know, I can't tell you a single message. All I know is that at the end, they usually hugged me. And that's what I remember. And then I went home. And we did this dance for a while. But, you see, I got the message. And then one day, I saw him. I saw him, and it was like, wow. So we linger, and we want people to come to church because we want them. It doesn't matter so much if it seems like Pastor Jay is talking another language, because it's the same language, but the language is the undercurrent is the language of love. Just like a baby, you're talking very seriously. I love when Caroline talks to babies because she talks to them like they're accountants. And we all love it because she's like, I like talking to children. I said, yes, but no one knows what you're saying. And she's calculating and whatever. But, you know, it could be like that. But here's the thing. Just like a child will look at the face of the person and they immediately respond to what? Your initiation of the smile. Your whatever. They are checking. And when do they cry? When they see you're sad. And that's the thing. We linger around church. We come here, whatever, because just the expression that comes from the song service, the smiles, the worship, I'm going to be like something. There must be something to that. It's different from what I've ever seen. Then I hear Pastor Jay, and I don't know what he's saying. And then maybe I got one sentence out, because always at the end, he's always got that, he'll never let go. And so I just hang on to that. I can rock that for a year, you know? And then God, and then I'll see him. That's the patience of God. He waits. He can wait for me for that amount of time. Isn't that amazing? He's not like, are you kidding me? We have been talking about this. No, God's not like that. Because he loves me. Because we just talked about he loves the world this way. And we weren't really his own. His son was his own. Really? But he sacrificed his son for us, so he waits while we linger to be changed. So whatever it is, whatever you don't understand, whatever you think you do, you come to be refreshed. You come and you linger. And then we get a capacity, unbeknownst to us, to allow somebody else to linger. And we appreciate it. We appreciate them lingering. And all of a sudden we find, stop it. Wait a minute. The patience that God has for me, I find myself suffering long for them. They come in and they eat everything on the thing, and you get up and it's gone. And you're like, I thought there was going to be, and you smile. No, I'm good. It's okay. You know, they run, you've told them 100 times, please don't do that, don't run through, you know, don't whatever. You've said the same counsel to them. How about this? Every week almost, it seems like for 6 months to a year, you've had to go to them before service. And if you don't, they don't tend to show up for church service. And you've told them the same thing. And you think to yourself, you should get this. So I'm going to write it down for you so you know what I'm going to say. No, they need your presence. They need your presence. They need your help. Then they'll learn. And that same love that drew you and caused you to linger, you'll find they get attracted to. And guess what? Along the way, as you're lingering, you'll see him, you're changed, and they will be changed as well. Wild, huh? I mean, honestly, this was mind-blowing to me. Because I've never seen it. There's nothing else. I've seen it in other religions. I got to do your steps. I got to do your thing. I got to whatever. But just to linger and I'll be changed? That's amazing. And God will wait for me? Even though tomorrow I don't even pay him a mind. Sunday I come and Monday I don't care about him. And yet, he's patient. Tuesday I think about him again because I think maybe I should whatever. And then I drop him on Wednesday. And yet, he's patient. We have an amazing God. It would take a lot to exhaust talking about it. But I like to, we're holding up patience and we are turning it on its side as if it's a beautiful jewel. And we're looking at it and we're examining it, because when we examine it, we find new things about it that maybe we just have never seen. Just like a child, as they grow older, they begin to, like I heard it in Caitlin's speech, that you begin to realize that that jewel is really the only reason that you're right there. That God's patience was so good. That's why Romans 2:4 says, do we despise his goodness, his forbearance, meaning like how he suffers long with us, his patience, knowing that it's his goodness that leads us to change our mind about him. Notice that God doesn't use harsh tactics. He uses his goodness to change my mind about him. It's crazy, crazy mathematics. But it works. I think that's really the main thing I want to communicate. Like, we're going to get to know our Bibles, and we're going to linger, and you're going to wonder why you're different. You're going to wonder, just like me. I think about today versus last year versus the year before, and I wonder why. I remember being in the pit, and I thought that was the bottom. Little did I know I was sitting in his hand. And you're going to wonder, because we linger, and we'll be changed. So let's do that, right? Let's linger. And then remember that guy over there or that lady over there, they need to linger too. And God is patient, because love is patient. Amen? Any comment or question?
Thank you for really redeeming that word, because I love that word. I just have to say linger.
And I just always like that.
that work? And then Pastor Shallow did a message on lot lingering, and then God had to take him and just take him out. I'm like, no, you destroyed my word. I like that word. And then, but that was a context. He lingered in the wrong place. And then I went down to Florida, and there was a bar. It was called Linger Longer. I'm like, no, they destroyed my word again. And so you redeemed that word for me tonight. Now I can embrace it again and say linger longer around the word and around the body of Christ, and I just thank you.
A lot of work here.
It's nice because, you know, I mean, it's true. We've all lingered in the wrong situations, but it's nice to know that if I linger, I can get changed. You know, it's a great addiction. Anyone else with a comment or question? On any aspect. Sandra, you want to say something?
Why is everybody asking me if I want to say something?
Well, Cindy's pointing you out.
Yeah, we'd be here for another couple of hours if I said everything that was in my head right now. That was, yeah, that was good. When you said he waits while we linger to be changed. That hit me. That really did. That was, sorry. Because he waited for me. And he told me so. When I threw up my hands and I said, I can't do this anymore, you have to take this. I'm done. And his peace washed over me, and I heard him say, as loud as we're in a room right now, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you. And I knew from that moment on I was never going to walk this earth without him by my side ever again. So he does wait for us. He does. Because he waited for me for 38 years. And he's still waiting for me to get it together. But he does. And he's waiting for everybody in this room and everybody out there in New York and in the rest of the world and our families and our jobs on the streets. He's waiting. He's waiting for them to throw up their hands and say, I can't take this anymore. You take it, because I'm done. And he's waiting to say, I've been waiting for you.
Sandra is right. We have been friends, what, going on 4 or 5 years? I don't know, it's been so long, but every time that I want to pull away, you know how, you know, you get so close to God and then Satan is like right behind you saying, no, you don't want to go there. You know, I got better cookies over here or something like that. But I'm more of a visual person, and I think God knows that. And every time that I fall back, he picks somebody. And every single time, like, I was blessed last year to move right smack dab next to Sandra. And, you know, every time that I needed the word. If I didn't get it, that I needed the word, like, you know, AJ would be like, dude, you need to talk to Sandra. You're a little nuts now, you know. Go talk to Sandra, have her calm you down. If that didn't help, you know, I would go outside and I was like, Sandra, I need help. And then she would always grab scripture and she goes, you need to listen to this. And it was on point all the time. And I would, you know, at first you wouldn't get it. You know, it's like, oh yeah, that is really awesome. And then, you know, because both of them were so close to God, you know, and then a third person would come around and I'm like, okay, God, I get the visual now, you know, and they would say the same, either the same scripture or, you know, roughly what I was going through. And, you know, you just, the words would always linger in my head. And, you know, because I'm such a visual person, God would, you know, once God holds onto you, he's always around you. And it's like, okay, God, I get it. I see you everywhere. I get the lesson. And I didn't really get it last year. These past couple of weeks, I have, because of reading my Bible at McDonald's and stuff like that. I see teenagers, you know, who, you know, either hate is a really big word for me and I don't like using it, but strongly dislike what I do. You know, I just read the Bible and drink coffee. Lots of it, but that's beside the point. But I've seen people, like literally people will come up to me and either you could tell that God has touched their lives. They will say, God will bless you. And I was like, thank you. You don't know how much that means to me. And, you know, or the teenagers, you know, with their snarky attitudes saying, well, does that book really work? And I was like, no, I don't know. Do you know how to read?
Yeah.
Or the one kid yesterday saying, well, yeah. I was like, well, then pick it up and read it. If it grabs you, then you know he's talking to you. And he goes, well, how can a book just talk to me? And I was like, when God talks to you, you know. And he's like, well, give me a Bible verse. And I have a whole list and in my notebook. And it's like 4 or 5 pages. And he goes, what's that? And I was like, Bible verses. And I was like, pick one, anyone. They're all good. They're all awesome. And he picked the one that has really reached out to me, was, which is Hebrews 13:2. And he, I made him read out of my purple Bible. This is a dude, and he goes, I'm not going to read out of that thing. And I was like, you know what? I hope somebody gives you a pink Bible, and you have to read it. And he goes, well, that's a little harsh. And I was like, don't laugh at this, because this is what's refraining me from, you know, doing something that I shouldn't. And he goes, no, that's God doing it. And I was like, no, I'm holding on to the book for a reason. And so I give him the Bible, and I was like, look for Hebrews 13:2. And he goes, well, where is that? I was like, you got the book this way. Lucky for me, one of my good friends gave me cheat tabs. Now look for it. He looks for it, and he goes, I can't find it. I was like, it's in the back of the book. He goes, well, he's like, well, how far? I was like, I don't know. I know it's in the back of the book. He reads it. He gets to Hebrews, and he goes, what is the chapter? And I said, 13. And he goes, I don't know if I can count that far. I was like, I'm not looking for you. I already know where it is. I already read it, and I get it. And so after being Mr., you know, snarky for an hour, he finally reads it. He reads it out loud. He can't finish it because he cried. I've never seen a teenager cry. It was more of those street kids that, you know, give me an eye roll. He couldn't finish it. He looked at me and he goes, "Wow, when you said that God talks to you, he does." And I was like, "Well, what does that mean to you?" And he goes, "I should have been nicer to you before I talked to you." And he goes, "Thank you for letting me read that." And he left. Haven't seen him since. Hopefully he will come on Sunday. I told him he had to. So, but I remember, I don't know what my purpose is, but I'm finding out right now.
Just something you said, and actually at the beginning of the study when you were talking about Wednesdays, you know, coming on a Wednesday, and just lingering, that word, and you said, "I come to church because that's the last place he was," and like being reminded of that love. And you, I love how you said, like, the undercurrent, like what's under that is love. It's the love of God and his lingering and patient and pursuing. And a Wednesday, you know, is a place where I can get so lost in my head, and then I'm reminded again, like, I'm here, I'm on a, it's a Wednesday during the week, and I could remember his patience with me. You know, his that lingering, like, okay, he's waiting again. Thank God he hasn't left me, you know, he's there. And so thank you, you know.
When we were talking about how
you come look at it? Too fast.
Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say that when you were talking about that there is no bottom for us, that it's always God's hands, it really made me understand. I used to always see this saying, and it said, I wrote it down because it's been in my head for a while, but as soon as you said that, it made me think of it. And it just gave me a perfect understanding of, it says, sometimes you have to hit rock bottom to realize that God is that rock at the bottom. So really, it's not the bottom, because God's always there. No matter how, I'm overwhelmed by God's love, because I just think about all the things that I've done in my life, and there was a lot of time when I felt like I couldn't even love myself, and I know now that, and I knew then too, I just wasn't ready to face it, that he always loved me, even when I couldn't love me. And now I just walk around and I'm happy most of the time. I'd say a good 90% of the time. And someone said to me one day, "You know, how's everything going in your life?" And I was like, "It is going great." "Oh, so you got your granddaughter back?" "No, not yet." "So you got your, you know, you got your place to live that's just for you and her?" And I'm like, "No, not yet." "Oh, so you're working then?" "Nah, not yet." You know. And they're like, "Well, why are you so happy?" I'm like, "Because I have a lot of things to be happy for." And he was like, "Are you high?" I was like, "High on Jesus." I said, "I'm high on Jesus." Right? And he was like, "Unless you really know Jesus, you don't know what, you have no clue what that means, because I feel happier now in my life than I felt when I had everything I thought I ever wanted." Mm-hmm. And then when I say that, I mean materialistic things, you know? Now I have practically nothing, and I'm happier than I've ever been in my life. To a lot of people,
That probably makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, except for everybody in this room. I'm sure that you guys can all know exactly what I'm saying. But I also just wanted to say one other thing. When you said... Don't get me started. I was having a little bit of a problem with somebody over something. I'm about once saved, always saved. And I was talking to Catherine a little bit about it before you guys got here, and the craziest thing is that you could not possibly have known anything about that conversation other than divine intervention when God somehow relayed to you that I needed to hear something specific that you said. And when you said, once God has us, he keeps us. Because why would he spend all his time getting us just to toss us away? And even though I knew that I was right, because I was looking in the Bible for the answers that I wanted, like, she really made me feel like, was I going crazy? Like, I know that what I know is right. You know, because I even read a part in the Bible that says that what could the worst thing be that you could do to lose your salvation? And pretty much the answer was, if you lost your salvation, you would never be able to get it back. But you can't lose it, so that would never happen. So that pretty much tells me that once you're saved, you're always saved. Am I right, or am I misinterpreting that? Where he says, hold on, I'm going to think about it and tell you where it is. When somebody, help me out here, Sandra, because you know all this. You do, when we were talking about it last night. Now she's going to act like I'm... Yeah, we'll let you think about it. You think about it, then we'll... I mean, I'll think about it, and then I'll tell you.
Marcellus, do you want to say anything?
Don't we love
Marcellus? Yes. Yes. I don't really know what to say. I just feel like, I don't know, just being here, so it's different. I grew up in church. My dad's family, they had a church. We was there every single day. We did everything with them, and one bad experience from them just like pushed me away completely. Not from just their church, but from everybody's church. So it just like, and then meeting you, having a conversation with you at that diner, just like changed everything. It's like a big difference. Like, I'm like, oh, she's not a church lady. That's what was running through my head when I was talking to you. And I was like, because I always just like took my bad experience from that church, and it just stayed. And then just like, even hearing like Harold and Leah talk about going with Mr. Alex, doing this with Mr. Alex, it was like, okay, Mr. Alex, like, he's nice. And it was just that. But he never came to me like talking to me about like God or nothing like that. And you didn't either, you know, you just invited me here to come here. And I was like, let me see. And then I got hooked. And it's same, because like even this morning when I called you, I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, I was literally bored. Like, I was like, you would think I've been here like my whole life. I was just saying, it's a big difference. So
yeah, it's a big takes over you. It's true. You also realize, what did I ever live?
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like that because, like, when Harold and Leah walked in from school, they'd be like, are we going to church today? Like, that's the first thing they ask. And then what's there to eat? But they're like, are we going to, like, it's like a regular routine. And I went to my mom's house yesterday. We were sitting there for a little bit. And her neighbor from across the street was like, well, Dag, it's nice to see you. I'm like, hi. And like, nice. She was like, you don't come around too often. And I did think about it. I was like, I don't. Because like, I used to be there every single day. Like, my mom's house was our second home. And now it's like, this became my second home in there.
Amen.
Yeah. This, like,
It's like we don't be there, so they was just questioning me, like, where you been at? I'm like, church.
Tell us what happened with Harold and the little boy.
What?
The boy that saw Harold.
Oh, so it's a teacher. No, it's a teacher. Yeah.
Oh, my bad.
Harold's teacher seen him on Maple Street. And he was like, oh, yeah. But he was like, no, my grandma lives there. And she was like, no, on the other side of Maple. Because my mother lives, like, way up on the other side of Maple. And she was like, no, on the other side of Maple Street. And he was like, oh, that's going to be my new school. And she's like, oh, hold on. So she calls me. She's like... And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a Christian school. And she was like, yeah, he invited me to church. And she called me for the address of the church. Yeah.
Wow.
So he's talking about our church.
Yeah,
and then I told Caitlin something else that, remember that letter he wrote to the mayor?
Yeah.
Well, his teacher took, like, full credit for it. And he came home, and he was so disappointed. And he was like, he had a stack of articles on the newspaper. And he was like, you better not give nobody this. Don't even show them this. Because this, I spent two periods writing the article. And this is not even my article. So he was like, very disappointed about that. But I told him, I was like, that's okay. You got plenty of time to shine. I said, that's a small little thing.
Yeah. Better ways.
Yeah, I said, don't worry about that.
Maybe I can share that. So it's interesting, Harold's 11. Just to give you guys caught up, it's fascinating. Harold went to the play in Baltimore with us. And we went about 30-some teens and kids, and he got saved at the play. And I remember I went in the back, and we went back to make sure everything was whatever. And this lady's name Shirley's talking to him, said, you know, if you have any questions, he goes, oh, I have a lot of questions. He's a very deep thinker. And and I caught her off guard. I think she was used to the routine, you know, whatever. And she's sorry? And she's like, I have a lot of questions about God. And she goes, okay. So, and he's been like that ever since. And then it was interesting because he came to the graduation in Baltimore, Bible college graduation, and then basically said, I'm going to that Bible college, I'm graduating. So then it gets better. This is why you don't despise the day of small things, because I was around 13 when I made some big decisions, and I knew I'm living the life I knew I was supposed to live right now. And he's 11 years old, and he comes to Caitlin's graduation party, and Caitlin, when she was 11, she went on her first missions trip to Africa. And so her parents get up, and especially her dad gets up and just talks about how Caitlin was touched by God at 11. And he says, and parents, he kind of just calls it out. He doesn't know Harold's 11. He just calls it out and said, listen, if God puts a call on an 11-year-old, he puts a call on an 11-year-old. Just get out of the way of it. God's got a call. And he literally, how many times did the word 11-year-old come up? And Harold's sitting right where Caroline is and taking the whole thing in. And it was quite amazing because you don't know. You know, I kind of sat here in church, kind of like I said, I walk in them, and I'm sitting there, and I was kind of like the least likely in the sense of, you know, I was quiet, I took everything in. We don't know what we are as a church producing. So don't despise the things that you are doing or whatever. Don't despise, because you don't know, but you might be creating. Like I think about it, my sixth grade teacher was the first time I heard the words, I love you. You know, I mean, you don't know what you're creating. And you don't know the impact, and we don't know the future for people. You know, it's just fascinating that this place, we want this place to be a place where people linger and that they can be. But I thought maybe to close or whatever that we would hear maybe something from Miss Irene. How many want to hear from her?
How do I top everybody else? Growing up, I didn't have a really good childhood, so, and I knew the safest place for me was in church, and didn't really learn a whole lot, you know. You know, the teachers really weren't active in, you know, telling stories and all that kind of stuff. So, I guess trying to find the inner workings of God and to learn, it just wasn't there, you know. And so we got away from the church for a while, and I went back to church when I had my kids, and Al came along, and it was interesting watching him grow, you know, with the inner workings of God. And we were in a Methodist church at the time, and then we went to a Baptist church because the pastor at the Methodist church, when my mother passed away, said, "I'm going to England. I have a trip planned for England. I don't have time for this." So we left the Methodist church and went to the Baptist church. And it wasn't till we were in the Baptist church a couple of years that I learned that you're supposed to be reading this book. You know, I had relied on the pastor to tell me, you know, how I should look at God, how I should feel about God. It wasn't, it just wasn't taught, you know. So it's taken me a long time in trying to play catch up, you know. And I had just gotten so much out of these Thursday night Bible studies that I just can't tell you how I'm impressed with this and how much I've learned from you guys, especially in the area of grace. I've never been... Thanks. The people here are so much different than anywhere we have ever been in a church. Mm-hmm. You know,
yes.
The grace and the fellowship, and you know, if you have a problem with somebody, you can go say, "Hey, you know, either you know, I did something wrong. I need to apologize for, or I don't understand why you did this." And there's always a forgiveness there, which I've never experienced before. So it's been a roller coaster ride, but a good one.
I just thought, okay, we're all going to get together, I guess. But after the very first one, I talked to Irene and Mom, and I said, you know, I got a lot out of that, more than I did on Sunday. But, you know, so I really enjoy coming.
It's kind of a kickback a little bit, and you get to know each other around the Word of God, which is really the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to know each other in Christ. Like, you know, that's why I kind of sometimes kind of force it out of some of you, because I appreciate the Christ in you, and it's beautiful. It's different. You know, it's unique, and I enjoy it. And it's easy to see. I love all the other days, but this is there's this, you know, sometimes there's an intimacy, you know, and that I appreciate that God gives. So that's great.
You know, like I said, we'll get to know our Bibles, I promise you. Because that's the greatest offense and defense a woman can have in her life, is to know that that's the book you cry in. I have a book, I have a Bible. I wish, who was I with? I think it was, it might have been Denise, and but you were in my bedroom or something. Yeah, we were waiting for the graduation to come on. And I have a Bible that some of these guys rebound for me that I've had. It's actually the only thing I have from, you know, it's the only thing that I have actually from my childhood. And it was my very first Thompson Chain Bible. And it's got these colored pages and tear stained and different things and underlined. And it's very precious to me. These guys rebounded 1 year for me, which was amazing. But you get to know that. And really, you know, it's like Cindy said, like, you're kind of like have this stupid smile on your face because you know a secret. You know a secret. You know that sticks and stones can break your bones and words can harm you. But you know you can go to the word and that can comfort you. You know that things can happen, and you know we said last week women can suffer sometimes with the best of them, but you know you have a place to go. So we want to really get to know and find all the secrets that are in there for us. And that's why I really appreciate this journey. And that's also why I'm very happy that, for the most part, many come on like I said, I was looking around realizing I'm preaching to the choir here, but Wednesday nights, just the getting to know how to defend your faith, important, you know, and then these Sunday series. And, you know, we should, and I really like, I mean, there was a lot I liked and I was edified, but, you know, you think of Kathy's ministry. We don't really know. We all sense, I think, that there's God doing something here in York. I sense it, okay? But I think we don't know the avenues. So whether it's little Harold, an 11-year-old, basically whatever, or it's Kathy at a McDonald's or at IHOP, or it's, you know, I know that Pastor Omar and Irene through different people in the community, or Cindy through the mayor who ran for mayor coming to speak to us on Memorial Day while we're cleaning up. We didn't know he was coming, and we're, you know, cleaning up the property. We don't know these things. So we just kind of just ride the wave of it all, you know, and just linger and enjoy the ride. And don't get too caught up in anything else. I like what Irene said about just have a lot of forgiveness for yourself, for others, and just linger. And don't let, you know, Satan get any type of, what you say, handle on you or to stop, to get you stuck in a part of, like it's a roller coaster ride, right? What's one of the worst things that happens on a Ferris wheel or a roller coaster? Yeah, it stops. God wants us on the ride. And if you don't like this part of the ride, honestly, stick around. You'll like the rest of it, okay? Really. If I had stopped at any time, and don't get me wrong, there have been lots of temptation, like Cindy said, like the rock has been right there at the bottom when I didn't know it was. But if I had stopped, I would have missed all of this. And that's the stuff I always try to think about, what I could have missed. You know, and let's be and it's interesting that maybe there was a lot you missed among the Methodists or the Baptists, but realistically, would you have been as hungry today as you are now spiritually? That's the thing. The ride is beautiful. It's a beautiful ride, and let's just not, you know, we're gonna linger. We're just not gonna get stuck on something. And if somebody does around you, you know, just kind of give them that little knowing smile, like, let's not get stuck on the roller coaster. Let's continue the ride. Let's not make this a sticking point. A lot of times, like, what is it really a sticking point? You know, there can be things that hurt and harm us, but just to let God keep us on the ride and speak to us more about what's coming out of that word, you know, for us, because it's an amazing thing. I'm still fascinated that I'm still moved by it. And that I'm still taught by it. It absolutely fascinates me that I can still learn it. Maybe you're fascinated because you're just learning it. Well, you know what I love? I love the fact that this many years later, I'm still fascinated. I can still learn from it. It's the only book in the world that if you're in kindergarten or whether you're a PhD, you're still using one book and God is still teaching. It's amazing to me. I love it. I'll never outgrow it. It's amazing. You know, I can never outgrow it. He's always going to be one step ahead of me. And then he's going to always show me something really cool if I just linger. You know, so I'll always be able to sit and hear a message. And you sit and hear a message and you hear something. Maybe you hear one word like he'll never. And I hear one word too. It's just the word I was supposed to hear. And that's just the word you were supposed to hear. Isn't that amazing? Oh, man, he is just so good. He's just so good. So we'll close and then we'll come again on Sunday for Sunday's word. And we'll eat that up. Like, the buffet will be at 10:30. The food will be afterwards. Okay. Okay. All right.
Can I just say one more
thing? Oh, yeah,
absolutely. Carol, Brenda was
supposed to be there on Saturday, but she... I'll do sign language instead. Brenda was supposed to be there. She couldn't make it anyway. She was asking me how it went and everything. So, of course, I gave her the highlights, but then I didn't know your little boy's name was Harold. But I said, but there was this little boy there, and he was so intently watching everything and listening. I said, and he was 11, and I said a couple of times I saw him just looking at me. I said, maybe he thought I was crazy. I don't know. Like, that could have been. I said, but he was just so intently listening to everything. So there are people in Carlisle now praying for your son. And I did not know his name then, but now I do. So now I can go back and tell her. But that's the our pastor's wife in Carlisle. So, yeah, and she's praying maybe he gets to go to Africa someday. Yeah, yeah. It was just cute.
No,
yeah.
Funny.
Yeah.
There's a Labor Day retreat,
which will end our summer. It'll be the end of week. It's called a No Labor Day. The men of that church will serve us and different ones. And so it's where we will join with them. So it's all of about less than an hour away, but you can come for part of it, but we'll be mixing with them. It's an amazing retreat. And that's our big end of summer, prepare for the school, you know, whatever comes in the fall. But we'll have an opportunity to kind of have a lot of fun with each other. And I really appreciate that because that's kind of like our ladies' trip, you know, but right down the road, but it's at this old bath spa, really cool rocking chairs on the porch. You can rock all day long. And then it's got arts and crafts, and they make jewelry. So it's really a lot of fun. But then we have times around the Word of God, and then we have campfire. And so all ages. I brought my mom there before. There have been like three generations there at once. Because it's really set up for all ages, where I don't care what your age, you can go do a climbing wall, or like you can do arts and crafts, or you can, I've done it where sometimes I just sleep most of the time, and I'm just very happy to, and get up and go and hang, eat and have campfires, or just sit and talk with somebody. It's just very relaxing, so I just want to give a shout out early to that, because that is something that we will definitely do. It is the Labor Day weekend, and even if you can come for a day or there are 2 days, but it's just a beautiful experience, and I think for us it'll be a great fellowship to mix with other women of God who are a lot, they're a small church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania as well. So, and that's where Caitlin and Niasha and James, our sound guy, that's where they were raised up. So you get to see the quality of those people, or you can blame them, whichever you want to do. You can blame them face to face. Say, you missed a few things here. No, but... No, not at all. I like what Anne-Marie said, keep sending us your best. Yeah. So, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for just each one. You know, it's one of those things where I think, for me, I will lock these words from these ladies and tuck it in my heart. And that's the stuff of dreams. Those are the type of dreams that just are worth having. And God, I just pray for each of these ladies here that they too will have their dreams where they will watch these souls around them as a direct result that will be ministered to and be changed. And is there any greater dream than that? Like Cindy said,
It's not what we own. You can't take your things to heaven, but you can take souls. You know, the things that we can, like, we can have is an abundance of souls around us whose lives are changed. God, make us like your messengers, your emissaries, your ambassadors to York, and light us on fire so that those around us can see it for miles. So we praise you and we thank you. Thank you for your patience with us. May we be able to reveal that to others. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay.